Hey guys, welcome to Cultural Kitchen. This is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. So, Cultural Kitchen is a show that airs on every Friday from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Every show, we will be talking about different cultures of food. So we will be breaking down the show in three segments. The first segment will just give you guys a background information of just the culture. The second segment will be I'll be telling you guys about popular dishes and how to make them. The third segment, I'll be telling you guys about different restaurants that you should try all over California. So for show number two, this is show number two. I picked this culture because I went there over the summer and I absolutely loved it. All the scenic routes that I took were really beautiful. The people are so polite. The food was amazing. And it's really clean overall. So let me give you guys a hint. It is an Asian country. It consists over 6,800 islands. Both anime and manga are very important to the culture. Can anyone guess which country I am talking about? Well, if you guessed Japan, you are correct. All right, so let's get started with segment number one. Again, you are listening to Cultural Kitchen with DJ Sizzle on radio.dominican.edu. So let's get started. Segment number one. So let's talk about the culture. When it comes to food, the Japanese are among the most enthusiastic and passionate of any race. Ask any Japanese person about a recent trip within Japan, and the conversation almost includes talk of local food. In fact, for many Japanese traveling outside of their hometowns, food is often one of the primary motivators for traveling. For this reason, many towns and cities in Japan are known first and foremost for their local specialty. Whether it's fish, noodles, seaweed, or tofu, and much more. You can tell the Japanese passion for food when you turn on your TV in Japan, and almost any time of the day or night, you will catch a show about food. So food in Japan is an art form, and even the simplest dishes are often prepared by chefs who have trained for many years. Japan is proud of its four very distinctive seasons, and each season marks the beginning of more delicious offerings. It's very evident that in supermarkets, hotels, and inns and restaurants, where menus are frequently changed to reflect what's available and what is in season. So there's a very diverse range of food. It's not an exaggeration to say that many Japanese will struggle to name the many varieties of seaweed, mushrooms, fish on the shelves of supermarkets or even at the restaurants. There's so many choices and options that you're just going to run out of names, probably. All right. So I looked up this part and I thought it was really interesting. It says Kaiseki cuisine, and it's very popular among Japanese people. They have it. It's small dishes containing up to as many 12 beautifully presented courses of steamed, simmered, or grilled dishes, sliced sliced raw fish, which is called sashimi, tempura, soup, rice, pickles, and a small dessert. The dishes in Kaiseki cuisine usually reflect on what is available in season. So Kyoto in Japan is, it's from what I looked up, it's a great place to enjoy this wonderful treat for all the senses, our seasons. So definitely if you're heading out to Japan, go check out that place. So now let's talk about like just basic foods in Japan. So when I went on tour, the tour guide said usually a lot, or yes, the tour guide said that usually many tourists come and eat a lot of rice because they say rice in Japan is completely different than any other country, like compared to China, compared to Taiwan, compared to anywhere. Like the rice in Japan is the best rice you can have anywhere. So I was so every restaurant I would go, I would try the rice, but I don't taste any difference with the rice in Japan and anywhere else. It's just regular rice to me. But my parents, they like the rice a lot more. They say it's a lot more, I don't know how to say it, because they say in Chinese. So I guess I would translate it in, they would say as, it's a lot more chewy, a lot more fresh. It's just better, I guess. I don't know, in some people's opinions. So let's talk about rice. So rice has been a staple food for the Japanese for over 2,000 years and still accompanies or forms the basis of many meals. Harvesting rice is a very labor-intensive, and the Japanese are reminded of this from a very young age, which is why rice is rarely wasted and leftover rice is put to good use. Aside from sushi, popular dishes that include rice include donburi. I'm sorry but if I'm saying it wrong, but that's the best I can do. So donburi is a simmered fish with meat or vegetables served over rice. There's also another one called onigiri. It's small parcels of rice wrapped in dried seaweed. And kayu, a rice porridge. Mochi, pounded rice cake. You guys should try mochi. Mochi is really good. And chazook, which is cooked rice with green tea, often served with salmon or cod roe. So, in Japan, fish, like Taiwan, fish is a huge part of Japanese diet. Whether it's raw, like sashimi, grilled, or deep fried, it seems that Japanese have tried and tested every possible method of preparation. After talking about fish, now let's talk about food outside of home in Japanese culture. So eating out in Japan is much about the experience as the food. Many Japanese restaurants specialize in one particular type of food, and there are countless different styles, which including the famous Kaiten Sushi restaurants, which, so when I read that, I didn't know what it was. So Kaiten Sushi restaurants are, it's pretty much sushi plates. Like you can have sushi plates or mini like appetizers, I guess I would say. And it will be on a conveyor belt, which the conveyor belt will take the plates all around the restaurants. And each person would be like, not in a booth, but they would sit like on a counter, and it would go around the whole restaurant, and so pretty much the customers, they can take what appeals to them and what they see that what they think is good. I'm sorry. So other restaurants that specialize, in skewers, which is called kushiyaki, ramen, which is noodles in broth, tempura, deep fried fish or vegetables, teriyaki, which is marinated beef, chicken, fish, seared on a hot plate, sukiyaki, which is thin slices of beef, bean curd, and vegetables cooked in soy sauce and then dipped in egg, and much more. The list goes on and on and on. So there is also festival food, which offers an array of interesting eats, including takoyaki, which is a small piece of octopus cooked in a bread dough like dumpling. So pretty much takoyaki, you guys should try takoyaki. It's really good. And it's really interesting to watch them make. So I was at Japan, and it was a mini festival, I guess. And there was a stand, and it was takoyaki. And it was just, it's like a waffle cooker, but it's shaped as a sphere. So they would dump the octopus and the bread dough pastes onto the waffle, the sphere-shaped waffle-like maker, I guess that's what I would call it. And then, like, there would be, like, four people standing in a line. One person would be dumping, another person would be flipping, and then they would just go down and flip and flip and flip until it's nice and crispy on the outside and soft on the inside. And then, like, after it's done, they would put it on a plate, and they would put mayo and some green onions, and some, I don't know what it's called. I think it's a shrimp paper. That's what's called in English, I guess. So, okay, so another festival food is also called kakigori, which is shaved ice. And there's also a lot more festival foods that you guys can look up. So, well, now that's done with the culture part with segment number one. So let's take a break and talk about how to make some popular dishes next. This is DJ Sizzle, and thank you for listening to Cultural Kitchen at Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. I'll talk to you guys soon. Skies and stars are falling. Hey, boy.
standing in the sunlight, in the early morning sunlight, in the harbor church of St. Cecilia. To praise us always, returning to the earth, to the rose of Jericho and the bougainvillea. And this is the only life. Now that's worth something when you think about it, that is worth some money. That's worth something when you think about it, that is worth some money. I love you because I believe in you. Summer skies, stars are falling all along the Indian coast. And if I had money, if I had children, summer skies, stars are falling all along the Indian coast. If I have weaknesses, don't let them blind me, Lord.
Come on!
welcome back from the break. Again, well, I am DJ Sizzle, and this is segment number two. So if you missed it, segment number one was pretty much all about Japanese culture. And if you missed segment number one and if you want to listen to it, you can check it out on Cultural Kitchen at Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. Again, this is DJ Sizzle, and let's get started with segment number two. So, I have prepared three recipes for you guys today. So, our first Japanese dish is called tonkatsu ramen. Have you guys had it before? It's really good. It's really creamy. So, tonkatsu is a rich, creamy pork broth of Japan's Kyushu region. Many people in Japan say that it leaves your lips sticky and your belly happy. So let's get started. Let's tell you about the ingredients you would need. The ingredients you would need are 3 pounds of pig feet, which you would have to split lengthwise or cut crosswise into 1-inch discs. And if you don't want to cut it, you can always ask your local butcher to do it for you. So, and also after the 3 pounds of pig trotters or pig feet, however you want to call it, you would need 2 pounds of chicken backs and carcasses, the skin and excess fat removed from it. You would also need 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil, 1 large onion, skin on and roughly chopped, 12 garlic cloves, 1 3-inch knob ginger, roughly chopped, 2 whole leeks, washed and roughly chopped, 2 dozen scallions, white parts only, 6 ounces of whole mushrooms or mushroom scraps, 1 pound of slab pork fat back. So let's get started with the directions. So you would place the pork and chicken bones in a large stock pot and cover it with cold water. After that, you would place it over the burner over high heat and bring it to a boil. After it boiled, you would remove the pot from the heat. While the pot is heating, you would heat vegetable oil in a medium cast iron or a non-stick skillet over high heat until it's lightly smoking. After that, you would add onions, garlic, and ginger. You would cook it and toss it occasionally until it's deeply charred on most sides. So you would cook that for about 15 minutes total, and you would set it aside after you're done. Remember, you would cook it for 15 minutes. And once the pot has come to boil, you would dump water down the drain, and you would carefully wash all the bones under cold running water, and you remove any bits of dark marrow or any blood. The bones should be uniform gray or white. After you've scrubbed them so it's nice and clean, you would use a chopstick to help remove all the small bits of dark marrow from inside the trotters, or inside the feet, or near the chicken spines. So the next step, you would return the bones to the pot along with the charred vegetables, leeks, scallion whites, mushrooms, and pork fat back. You would cover it with cold water, and you would bring it to a boil over high heat. And after that, you would take out any scum that appears on the water or boiled soup. And so after about 20 minutes, the scum should stop appearing, and you would use a clean sponge or a moist paper towels to wipe any black or gray scum off from the rim of the pot. You reduce the heat to a bare simmer and place a heavy lid on top. So once the lid is on, you would check the pot after 15 minutes, and it should be at a slow boil. And if it isn't, increase or decrease the heat slightly to adjust to the boiling speed. And after that you would boil the broth until the pork fat back is completely tender. So that would take about 4 hours. And after that, you would carefully remove the pork fat with a slotted spatula. You would transfer the fat back to a sealed container and refrigerate that until you guys take it out. So after that, you will return lid to the pot and continue cooking until broth is opaque and the texture of light cream. And about after 6 to 8 hours, this is a very long process, guys. So what I do, I don't cook at home. I just go out to Japanese restaurants, but that's off topic. Let's get back on topic. So after 6 to 8 hours of boiling the soup, you would keep the bones submerged at all times in the soup. And after that, once the broth is, and once you think if it needs more top, if it needs more water, you can put more water in if necessarily. It's up to you. So once the broth is ready and cooked over high heat and reduced to about 3 quarts, you would strain a fine mesh strainer into a clean pot. And then you would discard the solids that were cooked in the pot. And for even cleaner soup, you would strain again through a fine mesh strainer and lined with several layers of cheesecloth. And you would skim liquid fat from the top of a ladle, from the top with a ladle, and you would discard it. So now, finally, next step, you would finally chop the cooked pork fat back. You will finally chop the cooked pork fat back and whisk it into a fresh broth. Then, to serve, you would put the toppings of your choice. You can put salt, soy sauce, miso, sesame paste, grated fresh garlic, chili oil, or a mixture of all, and serve it into cooked ramen noodles. And you can put as many toppings as you want, or whatever toppings you can choose. So what I like with my ramen, I liked bamboo shoots, I like bean sprouts. I like a lot of bean sprouts and bamboo shoots. And I also like a boiled egg, which is not fully cooked on the yolk. So it's sort of, the yolk is sort of like the outside is really cooked, but inside still moist. So after that, with your soup, noodles, and toppings, you can sit down, enjoy a yummy bowl of tonkatsu ramen. So, now that we taught you how to cook tonkatsu ramen, are you guys going to try it? It's a long process, but it's worth it. So, this is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Cultural Kitchen on radio.dominican.edu. So, our next dish is called Katsu Don. So, Don meaning bowl, and katsu meaning pork. So, katsu don is a deep-fried pork and eggs cooked in a sweet and salty broth, and then is placed over rice. So, many Japanese restaurants would have this dish. So, you should definitely try that out. So, katsu don was once portrayed as a hearty soul food in Japanese culture. So, let's teach you how to make it. So, here's what you would need to make a katsu don. So, the ingredients are 1 tonkatsu, 1/4 cup of fish broth, which is called dashi in Japanese, 1 teaspoon of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, half of a tablespoon of sugar, 1/2 tablespoon of sake, 1/2 tablespoon of mirin, which is a sweet rice wine, 1 through 2 eggs, green onions, which is chopped. That can be optional if you want or not. I like green onions. Steamed rice, roasted seaweed, which is called nori, and thinly sliced. So now that you have all the ingredients, let's tell you how to make a katsu don. So for the tonkatsu, you would cut it into strips and set it aside. And you would take out a small frying pan and add the fish broth, the 1/4 cup of fish broth, soy sauce, sugar, sake, and the sweet rice wine, which is called mirin, and cook at a medium heat until it boils. After that, you would reduce the heat to low medium. Then you would add the tonkatsu to the sauce in the pan. You would beat the eggs in a small bowl and pour it over the tonkatsu. Cover and cook for 1 minute. After that, you can sprinkle chopped green onions if you like. And after that, you can slide the tonkatsu and eggs with sauce over rice in a bowl. And after that, you can sprinkle sliced seaweed on top. And there you have it. You have a katsu don. It's really simple, easy to make at home. I haven't tried it yet, but I will try it soon. And maybe I'll let you guys know how it turns out. So, the next dish, I will be telling you guys how to make a California roll. So, these are the ingredients that you would need. You would need 1/2 lemon, 1 medium avocado that is peeled, pitted, and sliced into 1/4 inch thick pieces, 4 sheets of seaweed, also called nori, 1/2 batch of sushi rice. And for sushi rice, you guys can look that up, how to make that online. I'm not going to talk about that today, but you can look that up online. So you need 1/2 batch of that. 1/3 cup of sesame seeds, which is toasted. 1 small cucumber, peeled, seeded, and cut in 2 small thin slices that are about a matchstick size. And You would need 4 crab sticks, which is torn into pieces, pickled ginger for serving, wasabi for serving, and soy sauce for serving. So, let's get started. So, first, you would squeeze the lemon all over the avocado to prevent it from browning. Then you would also need a bamboo rolling mat, which you can find at an Asian market, or maybe just regular markets may have it, but you should check it out and see if they have it. So you would cover a bamboo rolling mat with a plastic wrap. You would cut nori sheets into half crosswise and half crosswise, and you would lay 1 sheet of nori. You will put the shiny side down on the plastic cover mat. You will wet your fingers with water, and you would spread about a half cup of rice evenly onto the seaweed. After that, you would sprinkle the rice with sesame seeds. So after that, you would turn the sheet of nori over so that the rice side is down. And you can place 1/8 of a cucumber, or however much cucumber you want. You can put cucumber, you can put the avocado, cucumber, crab sticks. What I do at home is, I like to buy what my parents do and me. We like to buy our own sashimi from a local Japanese restaurant, and we like to cut ourselves into pieces, and we can also insert that in. But for a California roll, so you would put cucumber, avocado, crab sticks into the center of the sheet, and you will grab the mat that's closest to you, and you would keep the fillings in place with your fingers, and you roll it with a tight center using the mat to shape the cylinder. After that, you have your California roll. You can cut it up into pieces, or you can just eat it like that. But now you can sit down and enjoy a nice California roll. You can have it with some pickled ginger or some wasabi and soy sauce. But you pretty much can choose your own toppings to make, but this is just for a California roll. So, well, that's it for segment number 2. So segment number 2, I taught you guys how to make tonkatsu ramen, katsudon, and a simple California roll. So now let's take a break before segment number 3, which I have 7 restaurants to tell you guys about. And so let's take a break, and I'll talk to you guys in a few minutes. So this is DJ Sizzle, and thank you guys for listening to Cultural Kitchen at Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. I'll talk to you guys in a few minutes.
Hey, alai ke aloha. He aka me aho. Cause
All right, welcome back from the break. This is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Cultural Kitchen on radio.dominican.edu. So this is segment number 3, and the first two segments, I talked about Japanese culture and a few Japanese dishes. So if you like to check that out, go on radio.dominican.edu. So for the third segment, I am going to talk to you guys about different restaurants that you can find all around California. So let's get started. So I have 3 restaurants in Northern California and 4 restaurants in Southern California. So let's get started with Southern California. So this is my absolute favorite Japanese restaurant in LA. It's in LA in Little Tokyo. So it's called Sushi Gen, and you should look it up on Yelp. It has 4.5 stars and 2,751 reviews. So with Sushi Gen, they have this really good lunch special, which is $15, and it's pretty much the most affordable sushi plate you can get anywhere else. And like the quality, the thing that makes them different is the quality of their sashimi, their raw fish, is like no other place. So that's all I ordered at Sushi Gen, their sashimi. Their sashimi is great. They also have a very affordable dinner menu as well. So many reviewers have said, one reviewer said, the sweet shrimp was very good. You can choose to have the head fried or served with miso. So maybe you should try that out. Another reviewer said their maguro, which is the fatty tuna, and amebi, which is the sweet shrimp, it's so incredibly rich, and it's, dare I say, orgasmic. So Sushi Gen, they also have a bunch of cooked dinner plates. If you guys don't like raw fish, you guys can also check out their cooked menu, which is also good as well. I haven't tried it, but I heard my friend doesn't like raw fish, and he says it's pretty good as well. So the next place is, my cousin told me about this place. I've been meaning to go, but I haven't had a chance to go, because every time I would go to this restaurant, they would have a 2-hour wait, even at 9 p.m. where it's about some kids' bedtimes. But yeah, they would still have a 2-hour wait at that time, late at night. So this place is called Marugame Monzo. It's also located in Little Tokyo in LA. A 4-star rating and 1,362 reviews on Yelp. So, what my cousin told me about this place, what they're very famous for is their uni pasta, their uni udon. And instead of explaining to you, because I haven't tried it yet, let me read you the reviews for it. So one reviewer said, I tried the uni udon and it was delicious. The creamy texture was just right, and it's not too creamy but not too watery at the same time. So the next reviewer said, for our next visit at Monzo, I love to try the mentai squid butter noodles that everyone is raving about. That sounds pretty good. Maybe I should try that when I go there. So another review said, plus a soft boiled egg on the side for only $1.50. My ultimate favorite thing to order is actually their pork belly rice. Wow, maybe we should all go there and order that. So that is Marugami Manzo, and it's located in Little Tokyo in Los Angeles, California. So if you're in SoCal or if you're just visiting SoCal, definitely go try that place out. So the next two places I'm going to talk to you guys about, it's located in the 626 area, if you guys ever heard of that, which I like to call it my hometown. So it's called, there's this place, it's a Japanese restaurant. It's it serves ramen. So it's called Ramen Yukinoya, which is their specialty. My favorite from them is their tonkatsu ramen with some extra bean sprouts and an extra side of boiled egg. It's absolutely amazing. I would always finish their soup and their noodles all in a bowl. It's really good. So it has 4 stars and 478 reviews on Yelp. It's located in Southern California in Arcadia. So definitely look that up. It's called Ramen Yukinoya. So let me read you some of the reviews they have. So one person, he's from Roland Heights, I'm not saying the name, he reviewed this place is my number one place for ramen in life. I love this place so much. The soup broth is so pure and not too salty. It's an amazing place, and every time when my girlfriend and I crave for ramen, this is the place we think of. It's absolutely delicious. So that's one review. Another suggestion is, I suggest the pork rice. It's a white rice with shredded pork piled on top, and it's simple but so yummy. So definitely try that out. So Ramen Yukinoya, they have this combination where you can get ramen and a side of rice or California rolls or other things on the side just for a few dollars more. So yeah, try that out. And all right, so let's move on to the last restaurant in Southern California. So this place is called Duck's Restaurant. It's one of my favorite places to go. But if you go there, it's called Duck's Restaurant, and it's located in San Gabriel, California, in the 626 area. So it has about 3.5 stars on Yelp and 262 reviews. It's when you go there, the building, it's really rural, ghetto, I would say, but the food is really good. It's like a really old building, and it looks empty, but it's really good. It's just like, it's like a secret place that you wouldn't expect is good, but it's amazing. My favorite foods there are the katsudon. So that's one of the things I mentioned in my recipes I gave you for segment number 2. And also their curry tonkatsu ramen. So what they specialize in curry. And so they put pretty much their curry in their tonkatsu broth and with ramen. And it's really good. So you should go try that. So let's read the reviews. So there's one person that said, I've tried numerous chains such as Hurry Curry and Curry House, but I always end up comparing them to my mom's curry, which blows them out of the water. However, Duck's Restaurant's curry is also as good as my mom's restaurant, which is surprisingly, but it's, I would go here whenever I miss my mom's cooking and my mom's not available to cook. So that's what this reviewer said. So the next review, next review said, Ducks is a super small, hole-in-the-wall Japanese restaurant. When you entered, it feels like you entered an Asian household. Parking is never an issue, and I've never had to worry about a wait. Their lunch and dinner menus are different, though. I've always been here for lunch, so I haven't been able to try their tempura or any other dinner dishes. My favorite dish here is their katsudon. It's the best in the area and a must try. My other go-to dishes is the curry udon. I don't know a lot of Japanese restaurants that serve this, so it's always nice to get something different. Overall, you really can't go wrong with anything on the menu. Alright, so, well, that ends the restaurants for Southern California. Let's get on to Northern California. So, in Northern California, in Sausalito, there's this place called Sushi Ron. I had that restaurant last week on, I forgot what day, but it was about 1 p.m. and I drove there just out of the blue. I went by myself, which is really nice eating by yourself, actually. It was my first time eating by myself, which is really fun, like outside at a restaurant. So I sat in a sushi booth and I ordered their sashimi lunch. And their sashimi lunch, it's a bit pricey, but the fish, it was super fresh. And so I saw the sushi chef creating this, making their salmon rolls. And I asked him if it's good. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, can I get an order of that? And he's like, okay. So I see him make it for me, and I have it, and it's like the best salmon roll I ever had. And literally, Sushi Ron, the quality of the fish is just as good as the one in Southern California, the Sushi Gen I told you about, that place. So the quality of fish is just as good, but the thing is, it's a bit more pricey than Sushi Gen. But so the salmon rolls that he gave me, he told me that a local fisherman brought them in that morning and gave it to him, and which was really cool that it was on the house. So what's better than free good food, right? So you guys should definitely try that place, check that place out. Yeah, and order some sashimi. So another restaurant. It is located in San Francisco. It's called Ryoku's Japanese Restaurant and Bar. It has 4 stars and 1,864 reviews on Yelp. It's pretty much your average sushi restaurants. I haven't been there, but some friends told me about this place, and I definitely want to check it out up here. So, go check it out. It's in San Francisco, and it's called Ryoku's Japanese Restaurant and Bar. So, some reviews include, the weekends they have a live DJ. So, if you're looking for a fancy, upscale, quiet, intimate place, this would not be your place. But it seems pretty fun since they have a live DJ, actually. So, all right. So, let's move on to the next restaurant. The next restaurant is called Uchiwa Ramen, or Uchiwa Ramen. And I had this place about 1 month ago. It is located in San Rafael, and it has 4 stars and 164 reviews. So what I ordered from this place is their tonkatsu ramen. And their tonkatsu ramen is really good. So my only complaint is they don't give enough soup, but other than that, it's great. So you guys should definitely go check that out. So one review, let's read you some reviews. So one review said, the musubi was very good and the pork wings were awesome. It was a big hit. So another review said, I could get miso with a rich, creamy broth from a different dish and making heaven come to life. All right, so that's the reviews for this place. It's called Uchiwa Ramen, and it's located in San Rafael. So this ends the third segment, and this is DJ Sizzle, and you're listening to Cultural Kitchen. Check out my show every Friday from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. And I'll see you guys next week. All right.